Homo habilis and Homo erectus, whose skeletal remains live on in our natural history museums. I firmly believe those that did survive would not give up, even when the odds against them are overwhelming and couldn't be beat. They simply would not give in to the darkness and go gently into the good night. Now, certainly, people can become very predatory. We've seen that happen many, many times throughout history. And when the choice is feeding your children or letting the other live, well, we've seen what happens to those others. I am not an ivory tower type who believes in the innate goodness of all mankind and envisions a day when we will all sit around singing kumbaya in perfect peace and harmony. I am fully aware that people can be vicious, predatory, and all too short-sighted in trying to meet their basic needs. But we are resilient in dealing with those people as well, which we've also seen time and time again throughout history. I most certainly would never want to see something akin to Black Tide come to happen in the real world. And as much as I believe that I would be able to survive it, at least for a while, I am all too aware that the odds are not in my favor, or yours. But I do know, not believe, but know, that the human race itself would survive, and maybe even, when all is said and done, thrive, because we are resilient. Starry, Starry Night, John Ringo.
Grandma, Sarah said, running into the cluttered living room. Ronnie says old man Klunder isn't real. Tell him he's real. Tell him, Gran.
Virginia Hanning removed her glasses and set down her sewing as the children charged into the room.
It's not, one of the boys shouted. Old man Klunder's a made-up story. My big brother says so.
Inside voice, young man, Virginia snapped.
So, your brother says old man Klunder isn't real, does he? Did he live through the fall, young man?
No, ma'am, Ronnie said.
Given that Ronnie was about the age she had been that terrible year, and old man Klunder had been, well, amazingly, not that much older than she was now, there was no way his brother lived through the fall. So few were left who had. All the giants, the wolves, the reavers, the irregulars, gone like the snows of a Minnesota winter. How the years and memories passed.
Did he live through that terrible fall and winter when the world was covered in the zombies?
Virginia asked. She didn't recognize him. He must be new to Sewanee. So many new faces, it was hard to keep up.
Did he watch old man Klunder ride out into the night? Did he help him with the radio? Is he one of the voices of the fall? I think not.
Tell him, Grandma, Sarah said.
Tell him the story.
Please tell it,
the children begged.
Very well, Virginia said. If you insist. It was long ago and far away, when the world was covered in the monster, when old man Klunder saved us all. His true name was Bjorn Klunder, and Bjorn Klunder was a giant of a man, with shoulders wide as two axe handles.
Bjorn Klorno Klunder, 5 feet 5 inches tall, and down to 120 pounds, with shoulders that had never, on his best day, been even one axe handle wide, took a measured bite of beans, then followed it with a measured bite of hominy. He considered, as he often had since the lights went out, that it was good he'd learned hunger when he was a younger man. One half can of beans and one half can of hominy had been his daily ration since the infected nearly caught him on the last trip to the Myers. That was, until his stash was a quarter gone. Then it was one quarter can of beans and one quarter can of hominy. The only reason he had any stash at all was from some friends who still worked at the Green Giant plant, and Lars at the Walmart being a soft touch when he had to lay him off. He'd filled his tub with water before the lights and water went out, and he'd drunk of it slow, one meager cup a day. Waste went out the window. No flushing for him. It had been 2 months. He'd marked off each day on the Red Dragon Chinese restaurant calendar since the lights went out, and despite it getting colder, the infected were still roaming outside. He'd see some from the window of his one-room apartment whenever he checked. It was the second-floor apartment that had saved him when others had fallen. With only the one window, facing the rear, and too high for the zombies to climb, he'd stayed quiet, and they'd never even rattled the doorknob.